Greetings to each one here. This morning I will take a detour from the book of Ruth, and we will look at the law of sowing and reaping. Didn't know how many people would be missing this morning, and I thought I'll just, Lord led me to this sermon. Thinking about planting gardens, we probably know what these are, seeds. We have here, I have some beet seeds and some bean seeds. And I don't know how many planted gardens yet, but the time of the year when we think about sowing, farmers, I'm sure you have your seed, some of it out. If it's not out already, it's all prepared and ready to go. So there's a springtime, there's a seed time and harvest. And there's a law that we want to look at with the law of sowing and reaping that is ingrained in the in God's constitution. So it applies to everyone. There's a story of a mother and her daughter that were planting, say, beans in the garden. And the back of the pack says you plant them exactly 3 inches apart. And they were in these, made these little rows, and there's every 3 inches they're trying to drop a seed in. And she's teaching her daughter how you plant these bean seeds exactly 3 inches apart. Well, the phone rang, and mom went in to answer the phone, and daughter was by herself planting these seeds. And what do you know? The pack spilled. And she was trying to pick these seeds up, and they just, after a while, she saw it wasn't going to happen. And so she just covered them up and thought, nobody's going to know. And she went on sowing, and when mom came back, she was surprised how far she got. And, well, we know what happened in a couple of weeks. She was found out. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. There's a law of sowing and reaping that never sleeps. It is, you can't make it inactive. It doesn't matter if you're a second grader or if you're 90 years old. This law applies. If you plant beans, you get beans. If we plant beets, we get beets. It's a law that that transcends culture. It works in America, it works in Central America, South America, Africa, Asia, and it was through all time, since the beginning. We go back to God said that let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed and the fruit yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And we think about this principle of the seed in itself. It's a marvel how God made seed in itself. So here I have an apple, and last night I ate one of these apples, and inside I saved the seed. That is the seed that was inside one of these apples. And God designed it that way, yielding herb, yielding seed after its kind, the fruit tree after its kind, and it was so. So that is it's just a marvel how God instituted the seed after its kind, with the plant life, animal life, human life, the reproduction of the seed after its kind. So we want to think about this seed can grow an apple tree. And apples, so we're going to get to that a little bit later. But so this is something that God has designed, this seed after its kind. Now, the law of sowing and reaping, it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. This is in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And then it goes on, it says, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So God, the scripture warns us that we're all sowers, and we're either sowing to the, or we're sowing seeds. We're all sowing seeds. And they're either to the flesh or to the Spirit. Job says, even as I have, I have that verse up here. Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. So here another verse in the Old Testament, the law of sowing and reaping. You put seed in the ground and you expect to reap a harvest. That's the in the physical, that's a law that works and we know it. And this is the same in the spiritual sense. What we sow, we will also reap. We hear the term, what goes around comes around. Or we get what we give. We will be treated the same way we treat others. So what I do today, does it affect tomorrow? What you do today will affect the rest of your life. It'll even affect eternity. It's not a maybe, it's not a possibility, but it's the law of sowing and reaping. It's because we reap because we have sowed. And it says here, don't be deceived. We would love to deceive ourselves and say, well, this doesn't apply to me. We could think that we don't want it. We can do what we want and get away with it. But the scripture says, don't be deceived. This law is absolutely true. It works every time. What we sow, we'll also reap. And to think otherwise is deception. Be not deceived. The law of sowing and reaping is as real as the law of gravity. If I drop a songbook, we know the songbook would go down. The law of gravity. Well, this is as real as the law of gravity. It does work, and it will work every time. So this principle, you know, can never be outsmarted or overruled, but we should learn to use it in a way to make it work for our advantage. And that advantage would be, consider what we're sowing. What are we sowing? What are you sowing today? What am I sowing today? We reap because we have sowed. Galatians here teaches that each of us is a sower. We're either sowing to the flesh or we're sowing to the spirit. And this word sow really means to scatter. And reap means to gather, what comes back. So where there's sowing, there's going to be reaping. Wherever there's sowing, there will always be reaping. And we know sowing, for the most part, is intentional. Farmers choose to plant a certain crop, alfalfa or wheat or whatever it is. So we make decisions on what we sow. And I believe we can sow unintentional, too, with just... But God gave us free will. You know, God doesn't... He let Adam and Eve choose the wrong. They let them take the fruit and let death come upon them. He didn't interfere with their sowing. Moses, you know, when he hit the rock twice, God didn't interfere. He left him do it. God allowed Saul to ignore Samuel and offer the sacrifice, and he lost his kingdom. So God doesn't interfere with our planning, but he always orders the consequences. They're built in. Now this talks about sowing to the flesh or sowing to the spirit. That means also we have choice here. This law is working, and if we've been sowing to the spirit, it's going to be for the good. If we're sowing to the flesh, it's not going to be for the good. It'll be reaping corruption. So if we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap a harvest from the flesh. If we sow to the spirit, we're going to reap a harvest from the spirit. So we cannot be free from this law. It's going to work either one of the ways, if we like it or not. It's there and it will be working. And we're going to look at some Bible examples. If we sow to please our own desires, our flesh, we're going to reap a crop of sorrow and evil. And eventually, corruption. If we don't repent, we will reap corruption, and that's the end is hell. And if we sow to please God, we'll reap joy and peace and this life, and it leads to everlasting life, and that is heaven, to be with Jesus forever. So it's the flesh and the spirit. We're going to come back to that, but it's general terms that capture it all. We sow, you reap what you sow, it's a law. And if we are either sowing to the flesh or we're sowing to the spirit. And now we want to look at the inside. We're going to take a little deep dive and go down in this law of sowing and reaping, and we're going to look at five principles that stand out in this law. Number one is what you sow will increase, and we're going to see what you sow will get bigger. And number two, you're going to see what you sow, you reap later. It doesn't come right away. If we plant the beans, we don't get beans right away. We have to wait. The harvest comes later. Number three, reaping will be in proportion to their sowing. And number four, you reap exactly what you sow. You sow beans, you get beans. And then lastly, you reap what others have sown. And we want to look at, we want to look at those. Number one, you reap what you sow will increase. So what you sow, and we have the verse here, it says now in 2 Corinthians, now he that ministers seed to the sower both minister bread and your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So the law of harvest is you reap more than you sow. So, Kirvin, if you plant your corn, if you get one for every kernel of corn, you'd get a kernel of a corn. Would it be worth it? He's shaking his head no. It wouldn't be worth it. So there's a law of increase. You plant one seed of corn, and you will get what? How many kernels in that corn? I didn't do my math, but 100 or whatever. The Bible talks about 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. So there is increase. It wouldn't be worth it one for one. We want an abundant harvest, and we have a lot of hybrids to get more yield, and that's the name of the game. So you sow a little, and you reap a truckload. You know, you reap a lot. Now have this apple seed for an example. So this apple seed is one seed. And this seed could grow into a tree, and that tree, depending if it's a dwarf or a semi-dwarf or a full size, could produce let's say a semi-dwarf apple tree could probably produce 500 apples in one season. So it would take a while for that apple tree to be mature to produce, but you would get 500 apples off of this one seed. 1 year. And how many years does an apple tree last? So that is increase. What you sow will increase. One seed will bear, and a full-size apple tree can yield up to 1,000 apples. So you sow will be much bigger, much greater. So this law, you know, when you think about it, can either make you tremble or rejoice, depending which way you're sowing. If you're sowing to the flesh, that could bring that can bring a lot of heartache and misery. Turn it around, if you sow to the spirit, that you could bring a lot of rejoicing and happiness. It just depends on which direction you're sowing. So you sow a little hatred, a little bitterness, or a little sin, or whatever, you get a payment, a harvest of trouble and regret and grief, and it's a lot bigger than you have sown. And if you don't repent, you will reap a harvest of God's judgment. Sow a little, reap a lot. So like sow a little wild oats, and then try to come on Sunday and pray for crop failure, it doesn't work. The law of sowing and reaping. What we sow will increase. We see this principle worked out in Solomon for the good. Solomon, I don't have that verse up. Solomon was when he asked for wisdom, and God gave him much more than wisdom. So Solomon sowed at that point a humble request, and he reaped far more than he expected. Peter, he had after Pentecost, there was a harvest of souls there. You know, Peter was obedient to Christ. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit, and he sowed a single sermon there, and there was a harvest of 3,000 souls. God's principle is you get more back than you sowed. It's either for the good or the bad. It also applies to giving. In Luke 6, it says, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured to you again." You know, we don't give to get, but, you know, like we've probably heard it said already, that God has a bigger shovel than we do. But so there is the principle here of giving alms. So that this is true the other way as well, sowing to the flesh. Sin produces a bigger crop than desired or expected. You know, it says here in Hosea, "For they that have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind." Now these words, you know, the wind means breath, and the whirlwind means hurricane. So God said Israel had sown to the wind and would reap the whirlwind. So that is you see how these words are descriptive. It's you, what you sow is going to increase. Sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. Story of Achan is another one, another example. He's one that disregarded the command to take this no spoils from Jericho, but he, thinking nobody would know, he took the Babylonish garment, he took the gold and the silver, and what was the result? In the next battle, innocent men lost their lives, and Achan's entire family was stoned to death, and everything he had was burned with fire, all his possessions. He sowed to the wind, and he reaped the whirlwind. What you sow will increase. And David is another example. You know, that one night with Bathsheba, look at all the turmoil that came into his life because of that one fling. Baby died. What happened to Amnon, between Amnon and Tamar? Absalom then killed Amnon. Absalom then violated David's concubines, and many, many lives were lost later on when David numbered Israel. And it's another example of what you sow will increase. He sowed to the wind and he reaped the whirlwind. So what we sow will increase. That's a principle there. Now, number two is, what we sow, you will reap later. Or you sow early and you reap later. So we sow in the spring. This is springtime. We think about sowing. Harvests are in the fall. Different crops have different maturities. But, you know, whether harvest comes 2 months later or 4 months later or whatever it is, if we sow, but we reap later. And if we sow to the flesh, there's time. It's said already, the chickens come home to roost, or what goes around comes around. So we have to look at the verse here. It says, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. People get deceived thinking that there's no consequences to sowing to the flesh, because the harvest doesn't come right away. There's no consequences. But the harvest is later. Sowing comes first, and then the harvest later. In the Old Testament, there was immediate judgment. We see examples of the immediate stonings, like Achan, the story that we looked at there. But New Testament is different. It's delayed judgment. So it can look like the evil person that's sowing to the flesh is getting away with it. We can probably look around and it looks like people are getting away with it. But God always will judge sin, always judge sins. In Numbers, it talks about, be sure your sin will find you out. And notice Galatians starts by, do not be deceived. Don't be deceived. And one of the reasons I believe we can be deceived in this area is because we don't see the immediate judgment. You can think that there's no reaping going to come. But in Ecclesiastes, it says, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of men among them are given fully to do evil. And we can see this today. if we could see the long-term results of choices, there would be a desire to sow to the Spirit. But for the children of Israel, judgment did come. God called them to repentance, and God tried everything to bring his people back to him, but they would not. And judgment was the last resort, and it did come. So the harvest, what we sow, we reap later. So it doesn't always have immediate consequences, but they will follow. And we think about this on the flip side, on the good, you know, we think about the missions. You know, the harvest, sometimes we have to wait for the harvest. You know, we send workers out in the field, they sow and they water, and sometimes you don't see fruit right away. We need to be patient. We need to, sometimes you don't even see fruit in the missionary's lifetime. It only comes next and after the missionary is no longer there. But so we need patience when we think about what we sow, we reap later. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 says, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we reap if we faint not. And we'll come back to that verse there. But patience is needed in the reaping of the harvest of souls. I remember a children's lesson right here years ago of somebody had a plant, and they planted a little pot, and they planted a seed, and the children were there, and then this teacher was getting impatient because this didn't grow. You know, this seed didn't grow. We plant this seed here, and it just planted, you know, it takes time. It takes time for it to grow. And the harvest will come later. When you plant your seeds in the ground, it does take how many days for them to die and then to germinate and to sprout. So it takes time, but what we sow, we reap later. So another one is reaping will be in proportion to sowing. And this is very, it says in 2 Corinthians 9, here it says, this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So here it's a very easy to understand. If you plant 1 acre of wheat, you're going to expect a crop of 1 acre. If you plant 100 acres, you're going to have a crop of 100 acres. So this is it's in the proportion to what you plant. If you plant a few seeds in a garden pot, that's what you're going to get versus the acres in the field. So, you know, this principle operates both in the positive and the negative. So the more you sow to the Spirit, the more you're going to reap the blessings of a righteous harvest. But the opposite is the more you sow to the flesh, the more you reap the sorrows of an unrighteous harvest. The proportion of which you sow is also the proportion of which you reap. Now, you can't reap if you don't sow. Haggai talks about, is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as the vine, the fig, and the pomegranate, and the olive tree hath not brought forth, from this day I will bless you. You know, in order to receive a harvest, you have to sow. So there is, when we think about sowing in the positive, in order for the blessing, you got to get the seed in the ground. What good does it do in the barn? I guess it's better than if it's out in the rain and getting rotting away, but you got to get the seed in the ground to get the blessing of the reaping. Then the fourth principle, you reap exactly what you sow. And this is we reap what we have sown. Again, you know, when we plant beans, you know, we can expect to get beans. When we plant beets, we can expect to get beets. We plant, You can you get exactly what you sow. Now there can be some missed seeds in here, or there's some volunteer. I saw a volunteer potato coming up in our garden. So from the seed from last year, so that can happen. But you reap exactly what you sow. So what are we sowing? What are you sowing? What am I sowing? You know, the example I'd like to look at is Jacob. Jacob was he sowed deception, and he later reaped deception. You reap exactly what you sow. It's going to come back. You know how Jacob deceived his father Isaac? Killing a goat there to prepare the venison. He was convincing, he was deceiving his aged blind father that he was Esau, and he bringing back the venison. So he was lying, deception, dishonesty. And years later, he tasted some of that stew that he cooked, because actually Laban deceived him in giving him Leah instead of Rachel. And we see that his sons deceived him by killing a goat or an animal and putting the blood on the coat of many colors and telling him that Joseph was dead. So Jacob's heart was broken, and he mourned over the loss of his son. But here it was the cause and effect relationship. He was reaping what he sowed. Yes, Jacob could trick his father. His sons could trick him. But you know, the Bible says here, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, when we think about Jacob and the world today, I believe is full of broken-hearted reapers who thought they could sow one thing and reap another thing. But the truth is that this law of the sowing and reaping is that we reap exactly what we've sown. What we've sown. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You can't sow lies and expect truth to bloom out of it. The example we have of Jacob here is if we sow deceit, we're going to reap deceit. But if we sow truth, we'll reap trust. We'll reap trustworthiness. And so that's a principle within the law here. It says you reap exactly what you have sown. And that is so true when you think about when you can see it on the mission field. I've seen it. They reap what they sow. Now we reap what others have sown. Now I'd like to I know this can be taken out of proportion. We are all responsible for our own actions. But another principle here, I believe, is we reap what others have sown. First of all, I want to think of godly parents. Godly parents, you know, we can reap the blessings of our parents that have sown to the Spirit. You know, there's the opposite. You know, ones that have parents, have a mother or a dad that is sowing to the flesh, and the children will suffer because of it. They'll suffer in school and the sorrow and the hurt, and just because mom or dad is sowing to the flesh. Maybe the dad is absent in the home. Maybe so there's many examples, but we can be blessed. We can bless we can be blessed by the sowing of others, and thinking of our good Christian homes, that can be a blessing in our child training. Joshua and Caleb were an example of, they suffered in the wilderness because of the other ten spies that lacked faith and trust. And they, Joshua and Caleb, along with them, reaped what they have sown. They have reaped what they have sown. They had faith. They said, we're well able, we can do this. But the whole people believed the the 10 spies, the other 10 spies, and then they stayed in the wilderness there for 40 years. So they reaped what others have sown. And the Bible talks about in Exodus chapter 34, it talks about here sowing the visiting the iniquity of the fathers to the third and the fourth generation. Here it says, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that that would know by means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children and upon the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. So here we see the results of sowing to the flesh. It affects the children to the third and the fourth generation. But let's look at it on the other side here. In Deuteronomy 7 verse 9 says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. You see, that's sowing to the Spirit, and that's a lot of increase. The blessings to 1,000 generations, to those that keep the covenant and mercy, those that love him and keep his commandments. So we can reap what others have sown. And as fathers in the home, and that's very important to our children, what are we sowing? Because it does affect others. Now, I would like to yet talk about the sowing to the flesh versus sowing to the Spirit. So it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and then he that soweth to the Spirit reap life everlasting. So I'd like to look at this flesh. What does it mean to sow to the flesh? And what does it mean to sow to the Spirit? So in the context of Galatians in chapter 5, we're very familiar with the works of the flesh. Now, Paul lists many practices that illustrate this sowing to the flesh. Such things as, here it says, now these are the works of the flesh, which are manifest, which are these, adultery. And we're just going to go down through here and just go on the and read them one at a time. And what is adultery? It's marital unfaithfulness. That is sowing to the flesh. Then it's fornication, which is all sexual impurities, is fornication. Uncleanness is indecency and has to do with the sexual in nature. So, and a lasciviousness, which is a license to sin, or again, sensuality. So here we have the more of the sins of the flesh, or a lot sexual in nature. And then we have idolatry, and that is putting anything above God, and we worshiping anything instead of God. And witchcraft is involvement in the occult. So there's the sins that we are towards God. And then we have a list here of sins of hostility. And a lot of these are closely related, and these are words we don't often use in our English today. So let's just go through them. It says hatred. Now that's hatred is just a strong dislike or ill will towards another person. We know that the New Testament equates hatred with murder. So we'll see murder a little later in the list. But then it says variance. Now, what is variance? Variance is contentions, disputes, and quarrels. You know, it includes the easily offended and the ones that are more bullheaded. So variance is just quarreling. And emulations is jealousies, actually. Desire to surpass others. And these are all sins of hostility against each other here. A lot of these are related. And then we have wrath, which is the outburst of anger, uncontrolled temper, And you know, if we have outbursts of anger and uncontrolled temper, this is sowing to the flesh. This is so then we have strife, which is selfish ambitions. And one commentary says office seeking. So a desire to have to be. Seditions is dissension. Divisions, it's behaviors that leads to church splits, dissensions, divisions. That's sedition. Then we have heresies, is simply false teaching. And then we have envyings, jealousy, resentful desires for another's person's possessions or person's advantages. You know, envy is a real, can come close home sometimes. This is sowing to the flesh. This is marks of the of sowing to the flesh. Then we have murder, is just taking human life, but it's much more than that. I believe it involves just hate. And then we have two sins of intemperance, and that is drunkenness and revelings. And that is, drunkenness is controlled by substance, thinking of alcohol, and revelings is carousing and wild parties. And so these are sins of the flesh. They're ways that we sow to the flesh. This is in Galatians 5, right ahead of what the verses say in Galatians 6. So sowing to the flesh, I believe, begins in the thought life. You know, if we hold a grudge, if we entertain impure fantasies, if we wallow in self-pity, if we speak ill of another person, if we're self-centered, if we're critical of others or envious of others, it's all sowing to the flesh. Galatians, it says, these are works of the flesh. They manifest the sowing to the flesh. Now let's look at the opposite. What does it mean to sow to the Spirit? You know, these are general terms, flesh and spirit, that capture a lot here. But I believe sowing to the Spirit is simply, could be summed up in expressing Christ-like attitudes. That's sowing to the Spirit, to Christ's Spirit. Expressing Christ-like attitudes. And I think we know what they are. The list there is, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against there is such there is no law. These fruits of the Spirit are in contrast to the sins of hostility that we looked at there, the hatred and the contention and the wrath and the selfish ambitions and the jealousy and dissension. It's the opposite. So we're sowing to the flesh, or we're sowing to the Spirit. These, I believe this fruit of the Spirit, this love and this peace and long-suffering and gentleness and meekness, I believe is the corrective, the ultimate corrective for this kind of strife and hate, is a genuine love for our fellow human beings. You know, this is a fruit of the Spirit. When we have this love and this long-suffering and gentleness, you know, we're sowing to the Spirit. It's easy to understand. You know, there's other things, I believe, in the context in Galatians and in the Bible, but that give us examples of sowing to the Spirit. And right ahead of the verses that we read here, and is bearing one another's burdens. When we bear one another's burdens, we're sowing to the Spirit. When we financially support faithful teachers, we're sowing to the Spirit. When we're obedient to the Scriptures, we're sowing to the Spirit. When we choose to forgive, we're sowing to the Spirit. When we refuse to say something negative about a person, even if it's true, we're sowing to the Spirit. We're sowing to the Spirit. Every time we speak the truth in love, every time we honor our word, every time we pay our bills on time, when we offer praise to God for His goodness, we're sowing to the Spirit. So there's many opportunities that the Bible talks about. So you see the contrast. It's easy to see the contrast. I'd like to look at, if we live in the Spirit, we will also walk in the Spirit with the affections and lusts. So I'd also like to look at the don't stop doing good. That's right in the context here, the next verses, right after the one, a law sowing and reaping. So don't stop doing good. It's easy to become discouraged in doing good. You know, it takes maybe more effort to do good. So the harvest seems like a long way off, but we must remind yourselves of the perseverance, of the importance of perseverance. God promises if we will reap, if we don't give up. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So Jesus, it was said of Jesus that he went about doing good. So don't stop. Don't be weary in well-doing, but we will do in due season reap if we faint not. And one thing I forgot to say is that, you know, seeds, when we're sowing to the Spirit, you know, we have, when we're sowing, we buy bean seeds, we buy beet seeds, we buy whatever. But, you know, you don't have to go and buy any thorn seeds and weed seeds. And, you know, it takes more effort to sowing. Sowing to the flesh is easier than sowing to the Spirit. And it takes effort. It takes a part of our, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, in if we faint not. So lastly, just like to look yet at the corruption, as therefore if there are opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially of them who are of the household of faith. So sowing to the flesh, it says that we reap corruption. What is corruption? What is corruption? Corruption is eternal damnation. You know, there's no playing games with God. We sow to the flesh. If we disrespect authority, we're disobedient. The result is that the wages of sin is death, and the ultimate is an eternal death in hell. You know, we do reap here a life. If we sow to the flesh, we do reap a life of heartache and sorrow and grief. And it is, the Bible says, the way of the transgressor is hard. If we sow to the flesh, if we live that kind of a life, it will be a hard life. It's not going to be an easy life. But the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And that is the opposite. Sowing to the Spirit, and it's reaping everlasting life. If we sow to the Spirit, we will reap an everlasting life. Here again, we reap a harvest. That's exactly what we have sown after the Spirit. If you live a life of godly character, a life of obedience, a life of Bible reading, praying, loving your neighbor, it's what we're sowing, that's what we're going to reap. And the ultimate reaping is life everlasting in heaven. It's a choice. It's a decision that we make, whether it's a misery, regret, sorrow, pain, or love and joy and peace here, and ultimately the heaven or hell destiny. So if we choose to rebel against God and go against him, that's exactly what we have coming. So as we look over our lives, what am I sowing? What am I sowing? What are the seeds that you are sowing? What does your life look like? You know, if you look back and you say, well, I haven't been sowing very well to the Spirit, you know, you can still change. All you have to do is start and plant the right seeds, and the harvest will come in time. It's not going to be immediate, but we can change course by what we're sowing. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that will he also reap. It's a law of sowing and reaping. What we sow is going to increase. What we sow, we reap later in this life and in the life to come. And reaping will be in proportion to our sowing. You reap exactly what you sow, and you reap what others sow as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and love to us. Thank you for the law that you have instituted, that you have placed there in Scripture. Lord, we thank you for the seed that is the marvel of the seed after its kind. And so, Lord, we think of this law of sowing and reaping. Help us all to evaluate our lives and to make sure that we are sowing to the Spirit, that we're not sowing to the flesh, and because the reaping will come later. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. Thank you that you're true and faithful. Yea and amen. Help us to follow you. We thank you in Jesus' worthy name we pray. Amen.